Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Short Coat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews.
By students, for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Welcome to the Short Coat Podcast. It's Dave Etler. And you've come to the right place if you're interested in learning more about what a random group of people at a medical school in the bluest county in the sea of red that is Iowa found interesting about medicine and medical education this week. And I'm here with Mark Terrell.
What's up?
Casey McCleary.
Hey.
Tae Kim.
Hello.
And maybe Dylan Todd.
To be determined.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but he's usually a fairly reliable guy, but he just did not show up.
The Java House got him.
Today. That is so wrong. But these guys will provide some somewhat informed commentary on the stuff that we thought was interesting.
We missed on.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know. By the way, be sure to check out our YouTube channel for more evidence that we seek attention. We're trying to put stuff up there every week. Last year's was kind of a... Yeah.
Did you say last year's?
Last week's was a disaster. So it didn't end up... It wasn't a disaster. It just was really... I don't know.
I'd like to watch it again.
I feel like I needed more time to process it.
It wasn't the best.
It was... Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe I'll... You know, Jason said I should just put it up anyway.
I said you just put it
up
anyway.
That's brave. I don't know. Sometimes it's the worst stuff on YouTube that gets... That gets people excited. You think
maybe I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, I think maybe Jason, you have to make it really bad, like epically bad.
Well, but doesn't Jason also like hold to the idea that like the number of YouTube videos you upload eventually one will get popular? Wasn't he the one that
and he's probably right.
Well, we should just, yeah, but is that the best approach?
So we should
it's like
just go
new,
with
the new game theory.
We should just go viral with random videos. Viral fame, yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to post it. I did try to edit it into something. I'm just going to post that thing I edited.
Well, you see, now I'm not sure.
You're not helping.
You're so hesitant.
You're not helping me.
Well, I'll watch it with you, and then we can,
all right, then we can decide.
Final judgment.
All right, sweet. This week, I learned that... this week I learned the term anthropodermic book.
All right.
Do you know what that is?
Skin and people?
It's books that are bound in human skin.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. I was about to make that as a joke.
No, it's a true thing. I mean, we've all heard of... Have we all heard of books that are bound in human skin?
Yeah.
Like the Necronomicon, like, I think, is, you know, the one that it, probably everybody thinks of. But it turns out that the College of Physicians of Philadelphia has the largest confirmed collection of anthropodermic books, 5 in all. So nobody, no one knows how many there are in total. It's probably not something that, you know, people go, hey, I got a book bound in human skin. Let's all talk about that. Some are bound in the skins of executed criminals.
Doesn't the Murder Museum have a couple of those?
Oh, I don't know.
The what museum?
The Murder Museum.
The Murder Museum?
No. M-U-T-T-E-R.
The Mutter? Oh, so, the Mutter? So like what of, you're doing? Yeah. Mutter?
Muter? Is that how it's pronounced? Muter?
Muter?
I'll be nice. Muter. I'm very sleep deprived.
I've never heard of this.
Honestly, it Discovery sounds, Channel.
It sounds German. So what's let's up? We'll pronounce it Muter.
Discovery Channel used to be legit, but... It's pretty terrible now.
Well, speaking of things that aren't quite legit, BuzzFeed tells the story of three of the historical medical libraries.
BuzzFeed is where you got this?
Yeah, man. BuzzFeed's where I get a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's covered in the skin of a 28-year-old Irish widow who emigrated to the U.S. and then died in 1869. She was admitted to the hospital for tuberculosis, but died of a hospital-acquired trichinella infection.
Tuberculosis.
I was kind of hoping
you might want to learn how to pronounce that before you get it.
No, because she's a book now. It's funny.
Oh, I get
it. Oh, my God.
No. Oh, boy.
No.
The doctor who did her autopsy had a particular interest in trichinosis, so he removed some skin from Mary Lynch's thigh. Mm-hmm. I don't know which thigh. Tanned it in the basement of the hospital for at least a month. Speculation.
Yeah, so that's I feel like, where you... kind of cross the line.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested in this academically, but, you know, I'm just going to wrap a book in it after I tan it like an animal.
Well,
what?
So, see,
that escalated quickly.
They speculate that it was tanned, that it was tanned using, instead of using lye and other things that they might usually tan things with, it was tanned in urine. Because, ammonia is a...
I don't care what it is.
Yeah. If you can see my face, we should do this on the YouTube part.
We should just have faces.
And it said that in the old days, physicians used to... it's speculated that physicians used to bind books in the skin of their patients as a memorial. I wouldn't recommend this as a, you know, sort of a standard of care in the 20th century.
Right. I'd like to change my humanities distinction project, actually.
Oh my God, that would be... That would be incredible.
I'm gonna pitch it. I'm gonna pitch it to Jason, just like with a totally straight face. Yeah.
Have you told Jason about this, or would be it totally out of the blue?
I haven't. I just discovered this.
Okay. Yeah. God, you should just be like, great. So Jason.
I think you should pitch it to Loris Kaljan. I'm sure he would.
Oh, I have to work with him, dude.
I'm sure he'd have no problem.
I don't even think he'd like know how to respond to that.
Dr. Kaljan.
After 20 years, it took 20 years between tanning and her tanned hide to be used as a cover for 3 publications on women's health, conception and childbirth.
So, sure.
That's nice.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, people forget that the Irish were very mistreated at one point in American history.
I mean, to hear the article I read, it was, I mean, not a common thing, but it was, you know.
More acceptable.
More acceptable, perhaps. I don't know.
Mm. A lot of things were.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of unacceptable. The New York Presbyterian Hospital. You guys read about the Columbia and New York Presbyterian's decision last week to...
Yeah.
You did?
To do something that pissed me off? What'd they do?
So last week, New York Presbyterian's family medicine residents were surprised by the news that their program would be closing. Immediately, apparently.
Oh. Hmm.
Along with the family medicine clinic operated by NYP. They were just going to close it. The CEO of NYP and perhaps, it's hard to tell, the dean of the Columbia College of Physicians and Surgeons decided to just get out of the family medicine business. Not because of money. Not because of money, because they had a lot of money. They had enough money. But because they decided it just didn't fit with the strategic vision of NYP. Okay. Which, by the way, is a nonprofit. So.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It seems as though they wanted to get more into ambulatory care clinics in the wealthier parts of New York and sort of the higher revenue generating subspecialties as well.
What about having enough money?
They just, you know, they had, it wasn't, money
it's
wasn't part of the decision
money.
They claim. It was,
it's not about money. We just want to help those poor, disadvantaged, rich people.
Yeah. Well, and all this.
It's interesting. I think, I mean, some people have made the argument that, like, primary care physicians as a whole are going to become a thing of the past as they're replaced by lower level providers or other people trained in different ways, like nurse practitioners, or I mean, even PAs get expanded roles, and that like the role of the physician will become really just the specialist. So maybe that's kind of what they're seeing.
Hmm.
I mean, I think there's some truth in that. Like, I do think we're moving and will only continue to move more towards like some of the like sort of healthcare related professions. Like nurse practitioners have a much bigger role, physician's assistants, even there's talk of like psychologists getting prescribing privileges for certain select medications. And honestly, I'm okay with that. It doesn't mean that doctors have to go away. It does mean that, you know, there might be some transition period as our position in the healthcare hierarchy shifts a bit, but it doesn't mean it has to go down. It doesn't mean it has to be a bad thing. And in fact, for healthcare practices, it's probably a good thing because there are so many people not getting healthcare, and there's so many people who don't need to like go fully see a doctor and have like a whole expensive appointment to get their like one tiny skin thing checked. You know, like there's no reason a nurse practitioner couldn't do that.
Well, in fact, it was the sort of abruptness of it that, of course, was very strange.
Usually
I mean, imagine you're like 3 months into your residency,
yeah.
And, oh, that'd be terrible.
Or what and about people like 3 months from finishing?
Yeah, and your program is just done. It's gone. And now you have to go back to the match again. Or,
how would that even work?
I don't... Anyway.
Yeah, you'd think they'd just say, we're no longer accepting applicants and we'll finish out the people we have. Because that seems like a pretty rash way to approach it.
And also, NYP's neighborhood is Washington Heights. 28% of the population there is living below the federal poverty line. So, you know, these their family medicine clinic, you know, served an important role. Well, you know, just to cut to the chase here, NYP and Columbia reversed their decision within 36 hours because of the outcry from medicine residents, faculty, students, publicity. They all pulled together and mounted what sounds like a pretty massive Twitter campaign, and they got the media involved. New York City Hall, the White House. You know, don't forget the Affordable Care Act is sort of has behind it, you know, some pretty heavy emphasis on primary care. So yeah, within 36 hours they changed their minds. But according to
what did they think was going to happen?
Really
lack of foresight there.
Maybe no one will notice.
Yeah, we're just gonna close this tomorrow.
Yeah,
and I think
it'll be fine.
Deal with it.
It'll be fine.
Okay.
According to the VP of Public Affairs at NYP, while they're keeping the clinic faculty and residents around. And they will accept a new class of residents in the coming year. They are being pretty cagey about the future beyond that. So,
yeah, you know what? If I was a resident trying to apply to schools, I'd watch out for that school now.
I might want to avoid.
They kind of just screwed up big time.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they want, though. They don't want people applying there anymore.
Maybe.
I guess it's a very interesting read. So I'll, you know, as I usually do, I'll post some links to this story on the website, but yeah, that was interesting. I thought, are you ready for the first prescription strength video game?
Yes. Is it Portal 2?
It depends. Is it good? Oh my god, I love that game.
No,
as long as it's not Lumosity.
Yeah, well, it isn't. The UCF Neuroscience Imaging Center, along with, I think it's, I'm going to pronounce it, Interactive Labs in Boston, are developing, you know, if you're going to choose a name for your business, make it pronounceable. Akili,
maybe?
Anyway, they're developing what they hope will be the first prescription strength video game. The game, called Evo, may one day treat ADHD by engaging the brain's so-called interference filter, which helps us to prioritize input and filter out distractions.
That's interesting, because a lot of people argue that video games are a contributing factor to ADHD.
That's okay. No.
I don't know how I feel about it.
You better
it,
not.
I know that
I'll
that's
pick your ass.
No, I know that that's a major argument that certain people say, though. I mean, I love video games, and I haven't looked at any data or anything from it.
I mean,
but I know that that is an argument that people make.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a correlation, just because, I mean, video games are often really fast-paced, and people with ADHD might enjoy something like that and thus be more drawn to it.
Exactly.
Well, players fly a saucer through a canyon and they try to hit certain items while avoiding others. The game tries to detect the skill level of that person as the patient improves. I guess you're a patient if it's prescribed to you. As the player improves, the game increases the speed and the available choices that they have to make. It's gotten some backing from, an ADHD drug producer. Pfizer has begun a 100-person trial to see if Evo can help patients with Alzheimer's.
I'm just skeptical with that stuff, because it's hard to say that the skill you'll develop from flying a UFO through a canyon will be translatable to daily activities, because you can show that you're improving on the metrics they've determined through their video game. Because it's the same issue I have with Lumosity.com.
Yeah.
Is that it has all this brain training exercises and you're improving in all these metrics. But I mean, how do you really study memory objectively? It's much more difficult than they imply it is.
You're probably just learning how to fly a saucer through.
Right, and you might just be getting much better at that, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the focus stuff, I mean, you can practice learning to focus better. That's a thing. And I do think
What are conventional ways of doing that?
Mindfulness meditation is the big one right now. But I don't see any reason that necessarily couldn't be translated to something like a video game. So actually, biofeedback.
That just sounds like the opposite of mindfulness meditation.
Then. Well, no, but you'd have to do it in a very particular way. Like, you couldn't be like, all right, just go play Call of Duty. Focus really hard on it or something, kid. Go. You know, you'd have to be very particular about it. But, I mean, just that type of thing, the sort of general mind skills. And I agree, it is really hard to measure and tell if you're doing it well or right or if it's working. But, like, biofeedback is a really good way of doing that sort of externalized mindfulness meditation. So, like, there was a thing that I did in undergrad where you would, like, look at the screen and it would measure, like, your pulse and like skin conductance, like arousal rate basically, and you would like practice trying to make yourself like more or less, I don't want to say aroused, that's not the right word, but more or less like like excitable, physiologically aroused, I guess, so like higher or lower energy levels, and like the like person on the screen juggling would like, you know, juggle faster, juggle slower, it would like tell you to like try to float the apple by like, you know, clearing your mind or whatever and stuff like that. And I mean,
so it's a video game.
It's basically a video game, yeah. And there is some research that shows some of that stuff is pretty helpful.
You know, science, let's pick a new word for physiological arousal or sex. Pick a new word. Because, you know, there's just entirely too many opportunities to go tee when you're talking about physiological arousal.
I mean, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, it's true. I said it.
Oh, okay. That's how things work on Dave's show.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I had something little to talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a movie coming out soon, I believe, about H.H. Holmes. Is that the person? Okay, did you do the trivia question on this?
So you mean the guy that, like, built that whole, like, murder home?
Yeah, it was a physician.
This is murder now, right? Not mutter.
this is the murder home. I'm sure there's a mutter home somewhere or something. But this was in, like, the late 1800s, and he's known as America's first serial killer. And there's, like, a movie... There was a movie about it in 2003, and I think there's another movie coming out pretty soon about this guy. But yeah, he would, like, get patients and then, like, kill them and hide them in his basement or something? I don't even
know.
Didn't
he, like, run a hotel or something and then, like, guests at the...
Check in and don't check out.
Well, what was the name of that one really infamous physician who was like killing a lot of his patients? Forget his name.
Was he making them into pies? Sweeney Todd.
That was it. No, I forget.
Ooh, it's called the murder.
Kevorkian.
Kevorkian.
That was Dr. the guy Jeff? That did. Yeah,
yeah, he did. Guy. But I actually have a lot of respect for Dr. Kevorkian.
So wait a minute. So this person was a serial killer, and they're opening a museum.
No,
I'm a little confused.
They're making a movie. I think they have saved his house.
I guess I'm confusing the movie.
Another movie.
Yeah. It's called The Murder
Serial
Castle.
Movies for a serial killer.
Okay, one option I see nearby is University of Iowa Museum of Art on North Riverside Drive.
What?
Want to try that one?
No, don't try that one.
Don't try
Abandon
it.
All plans,
Sorry,
Siri.
I missed that.
Oh, God.
Siri, will you marry me?
It turns out that I have a new iPhone. it turns out that
sorry, my story wasn't exciting enough here. It's called Devil in the White City.
Ah.
That's what it's called.
No, I think that was an accident.
No, that was totally an accident.
yeah, no,
I was going to explain that my iPhone, my new phone has... So before, you couldn't activate Siri without having it be plugged into power. But now... You can activate it whenever. So that something about what we said sounded like the activation words. Anyway,
there's activation words now.
Oh.
If you say, "Hey Siri,"
creepy.
See, it's not going to work now.
It's pouting.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Like,
anyway,
it's like, "Hey Google" or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Okay.
So, murder.
Anyway, it's Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese collaborating on. Yeah.
Didn't he like sleep in an animal carcass?
Probably.
I saw some posts that he like slept in an animal carcass for this movie or something.
Holmes
ridiculous.
Or Leonardo DiCaprio?
DiCaprio. Yeah. I can find it right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
I sometimes wear an animal carcass.
I know, yeah.
I put it over my body and I relish in its delightful buttery feel.
They call it
a leather jacket.
I'm a little worried.
No. That's how you absorb the animal's power. It's pretty well known.
It's tanned, not using urine. Yeah.
That's what you think.
Not made of human.
As far as I know, it's not made of human.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently, he did. You're right. He opened a hotel near the Chicago World Fair. And he tortured and killed staff and guests and named it the Murder Castle.
Nice. Very nice. I bet his Yelp reviews were awesome.
Is it The Revenant?
Oh my goodness. Have you heard about that thing that they're doing with like Yelp but
no,
for people?
It's The Devil in the White.
Yes. Oh, never mind. He slept in an animal carcass for The Revenant.
Oh, well.
Which I don't know anything about.
You know, they did that for Star Wars with the Tauntaun.
But that's warm and cozy.
Hey. What temperature is the inside of a Tauntaun?
I don't know.
37. Lukewarm. Oh. Right, carry on.
Anyway. Wow. You guys heard about the go ahead. Say what you said.
No, it's like that new application or website or something where you rate people.
Yeah, I
like
don't like
you
that
rate
at all.
Businesses, like, yeah.
Like celebrities?
Who so here's came the thing. Up
no,
with
like
that.
Regular people.
That's the dumbest thing.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's called People, P-E-P-L-E. And yes, it caused a huge storm of controversy not too long ago. I don't remember how
long. I mean, like, why would you even need that?
Yeah,
come on, people would eat that up. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
I would hate it.
But, I do hate it.
You know, the a-holes in society would be all over that, and there's plenty of them, right?
Maybe. Well, it's just, but then they're going to be all muffled because they're a-holes and they have terrible reviews.
Exactly.
It's like a self... Like, what do they think is going to come of that stupid app?
Maybe it's a troll trap. Maybe it's just a trap for all the trolls to go insult each other and no one will care. And it'll just, like... It'll be like flypaper.
At long last.
Yeah.
The creators of People are actually... great humanitarians. Mother of God, you blew the lid off that one.
We gotta keep this on the DL. Delete that later, Dave.
Well, they decided to scale it back, so now it's a very boring app. You have to agree to, you know, be reviewed.
It's just like, do you want that out there? Like, people just rating you on like a number scale of how good of a person you are?
Yeah.
Can you go back and change it? Like, if somebody doesn't like you? Because I feel like there's like a dumb teen movie in that, you know, somebody gets rated a 9 and then it's their obsession to make themselves a 10.
Put that into your prediction hat because, because I bet that will come up at some point.
There's lots of crying and lots of friend drama.
If there's anything,
and there'll be, a murder.
Well, if there's
any
thing of some sort, and there'll be a house.
If there's anything high schoolers need, it's quantification of their social strata. Yeah.
Because it was so uncertain before.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of...
It just makes me angry.
Exactly. And there's even another app that's come out in the week since I heard about People. That is along the same lines. So, I we're clearly jumping on the a-hole bandwagon in Silicon Valley. Thanks. You remember Farmer... Speaking of a-holes, you remember Farmer Bro, Martin Shkreli.
I think I know what you're going to say, and it's amazing.
Martin Shkreli, if you haven't been paying attention, of Turing Pharmaceuticals, brought up the right to Daraprim and then jacked up the price by 5,000%. Daraprim, mm-hmm. by the way, used to treat, I guess, infections that maybe people who were immune compromised might get. Anyway, it was a drug that was a generic and... You know, in his estimation, wasn't receiving the development it should, and so he bought it up. And his excuse for doing this is, well, we want to pour money into it, but really, their excuse was to jack up the price by 5,000% and, you know, basically take advantage of people who need it.
Toxoplasmosis.
That's what it was. Mm. Thank you.
That's the big one. There's a couple others, but
Imprimis Pharmaceuticals, a drug compounding company, has decided to supply capsules of the active ingredients for buck a pill. So. And with that, they begin exploring a new market, undercutting outfits like Turing, who have decided that jacking up prices for generics is a good idea.
I'm so okay with this.
I think it's brilliant. Will somebody explain compounding to me, the idiot? So I understand that they take drugs and do stuff with them, but what
is compounding?
What do they do?
Well, that's actually where you're mixing the chemicals, right, to produce the drug. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just the production of the drug, or maybe the combining of two drugs that are commonly used together or something.
I think that's where you determine the dosing and, like, the size of the capsules.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I think it was like a pharmaceutical thing where you, like, make the drug with the particular patient specifications. So you have to, you know, because they release the pills and capsules and stuff in specific amounts. And mm-hmm.
I see.
This is like making it more specific for the patient.
Yeah, that sounds mm-hmm. right. It says compounded medications are made based on a practitioner's prescription in which individual ingredients are mixed together in the exact strength and dosage form required by the patient.
Thank you, Dr. Google.
Oh, so
I only know this because my sister's in pharmacy school.
I was about to say, is that what they do when you have to like wait for your medicine at the pharmacy?
I'm pretty sure. Whoa. No, I think they do it ahead of time.
Yeah. No, they're just being a-holes.
Lovely. So
I think that's fantastic because I'm pretty sure that Turing sunk a lot of money into their into buying up the rights to Daraprim, and so now they get to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm okay with a race to the bottom for the cost of generic drugs. That's how capitalism is supposed to work.
Yeah, that is,
you know,
how it's supposed to work.
It's how it's supposed to work. Also, did you hear that he kept trying to get like a private audience with Bernie Sanders?
Yes.
Because Bernie Sanders was like hating on the drug jackup.
He wanted to explain himself.
And he wanted to explain himself. Like, whatever. Like, there's no explanation for that. And so he donated like $2,700 or something to Bernie Sanders' campaign. And when they found out who it was from, they like took it out of their campaign and donated it to a healthcare organization. And it made me really happy. And I love Bernie Sanders.
We went and saw Bernie Sanders last week. He was here in at the Johnson County Democrats thing.
I heard.
I'm not going to say that I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders. What do you think of... what do you think of his plans in general? I mean,
he's said a lot about tax breaks and like military program cuts, and I know some of that's going to be really hard to do to get through Congress. That's going to be the biggest problem is Congress, and I am a little worried about that.
I like a lot of his ideas, mm-hmm. but I see a lacking mechanism too, and I feel like his age is a real big disadvantage for him. I think he's 74, and. Like, I remember when McCain was running his age, and McCain was much younger than 74, probably not that much younger, but that was a big issue in his campaign. People were questioning whether or not he's essentially still young enough to serve as president. So I feel like that there's just like, I like Bernie Sanders, but there's just some major issues that I am very skeptical about his ability to actually get very far.
My 11-year-old son is ready to vote for him, though.
I'm sure he is.
After the speech, he was like, oh my, I was totally voting for him.
Yeah. I mean, what I'll say for him, he has a very consistent voting record. He's not just saying things to get votes. Like, mm-hmm. this is him throughout history. And I think a lot of people see him as like the sort of naive optimist. But I do think that there are ways, if people would just come together and cooperate and decide what our priorities are as a country, there are ways to do them. I was reading online, somebody was like, oh my God, you know, it'll cost $80 billion to send these people to college over X number of years. And somebody else, commented like $80 billion, you know, it sounds like a lot. It does sound like a lot. If you consider it in terms of the total budget, it's like
when you get a $3 trillion budget.
Yeah, when you consider how much we spend on like being in some like foreign countries every day, like with our military. So if we could scale back on stuff like that,
anything compared to the defense budget,
anything compared to the defense budget is pennies. So, you know, what are we more worried about? Like, should we try to better educate our population? And it can be done. Other countries have done it. Other countries have had the free college tuition thing, you know. That's just one example. But, like, I do think a lot of these programs are more feasible than people think they are. And if we just, like, we have to choose to prioritize these things as a country.
Tay, are you a Republican?
Me? No.
I don't know.
I like to say I think for myself.
Oh. I mean, technically he's an independent. Like, that's what he is in Vermont.
There was like this interesting thing where it was like Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton, and how major news outlets were saying like Clinton won those debates, yeah. And then all the like polls and stuff showed that Bernie Sanders actually won, and yeah. So it was like, what was going on there? But I didn't really dig.
Yeah, the media chooses their winners.
What was going on there?
Yeah. So the media likes to choose their winners right away. You know?
Admittedly, yeah. Many of the polls were sort of like unscientific, like Facebook polls, and right. He has a very big standing
without
on Facebook.
Telling you, like,
but CNN absolutely has a financial conflict of interest with Hillary Clinton. Oh, they're one of her sponsors, so
yeah,
it was sketchy.
You mean they're? What do you mean? Their contributors or something?
Yeah, I think they're, okay. I think sure they're campaign contributors is what I've heard.
Time
yeah.
Warner.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, something
shocked.
Like that. One of their parent companies.
Are you shocked?
Shocked, I tell you.
Shocked. And awed.
Yes.
But anyway, I mean, if Hillary gets out in the lead, then, like, by all means, fine. It's better than any alternative.
My 8-year-old is voting for Hillary.
But not your 11-year-old.
So they're going to cancel out each other's their votes. Yeah. She's very excited about Hillary.
I'm excited to caucus for the first time.
Are you going
to
do it?
Yeah.
I did it. It was very interesting.
I'm totally going to do it. It's
you guys ever
going to be no, quite the process.
You should. I mean, if you have the time.
I'd like to sometime.
It's a very interesting, as I recall, this was back in the John Edwards days. I think we caucused for Edwards.
How'd that work out for you?
Not too good. But you know, he turned into a horrible person in the end. But
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that was fascinating. To see that process in action, which was less of a process and more of a like a crazy thing that Iowans do. That
it's so bizarre.
It's very bizarre. I recommend it to our listeners.
If you come to Iowa, then claim state.
Do you think we have a lot of out of state listeners?
Whatever.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
We do.
We sure
interesting.
Do.
And now they all want to come to Iowa to see what this crazy wacky caucus thing is about.
That's right.
Yeah. All the straw polls and
because I didn't grow up here.
Whatever else goes on. Why do they call it a straw poll instead of a corn poll? Anybody?
That's the age old question.
Wow. All right. I with that, we are done. If you like what you heard today on the Short Code Podcast, leave us a review and some stars on iTunes or Stitcher. What did you think of today's show? Tell us at theshortcode.com on Twitter, Facebook, lots of ways to get in touch with us. But if you leave us a voicemail, I can play on the air by calling 347-SHORT-TT, 347-746-7828. What could be better than that? I don't know. Nothing. More fern puns. The show is, leave us some fern puns. The show is made possible by the strange world we live in and a generous donation by the Carver College of Medicine Student Government and the Writing and Humanities Program. Our executive producer is Jason Lewis. Our intern is Corey Christensen. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox. And our closing music is by C2C. Talk to you in 1 week.
Good day.